tonight on AWCY-FM. The Chicago Public Schools Citywide Middle School Science Fair just came to a close. From video games to cookies, death rays to quantum tunneling, our show shows us what Chicago's great minds of tomorrow are working on. That and a special look at the Laurie Children's Hospital hack, band chat, all ending with a special Elvis performance.
The following program is a work of fiction and falsehood that is not meant to be interpreted as actual fact. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the broadcaster or the management thereof. This program deals with morbid themes and grotesque humor. Listener discretion is advised.
Chicago. It is April 13th, 2024. I'm Cam Smedley, joined by our investigative journalist, our sponsors.
That's
starting
me.
With the headlines. Joy, despair, and rage. Chicago's moon cult fails to make the eclipse permanent.
That's right. This is the 20th year in a row. I spoke with the head priest, Studious Crow, who had this to say: how much more blood needs to be shed by our hands for this to end? We will do whatever it takes. As mentioned, this is the 20th year in a row that this group has done this. They are dismayed, but they are looking forward to reconvening in 2026, where they've already reserved their event space, Argonne Ballroom.
And their main interest in all of this is to make the eclipse permanent as a devotional to their moon god, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so they wait until it gets to the – it covers as much of the sun as they can, and then they yell stop and perform a bunch of other rituals, but really it's a lot of yelling stop, and every single time this happens, it just doesn't stop, unfortunately.
Well, here's looking forward to 2026.
Yeah, we believe in you.
WBEZ will be shutting down local station Vocalo 91.1 FM on May 1st after 23 years of broadcasting.
Yeah, it's the great failed experiment, you know, in making public radio appealing to the general public. It included Vocalo included, if you don't know, segments about Chicago local artists and events, underground hip hop, and youth interest segments. The channel, unfortunately, after being taken off the air and never to be revisited, will be replaced by a new menu of items of shows, all of which are all talk radio station featuring some classics and favorites, including Man Cow in the Morning, Bubba, The Love Sponge, Grow Scary, Talkin' Boobies, and a new program that I'm really excited about called Sherman Versus Tingle.
Well, I mean, you know, not to disparage, we're all a radio family on the radio waves, especially the local radio waves. But I think Vocalo, it was just people obviously weren't into it. But
no.
I think people will be, you know, no pun intended, titillated by Bubba the Love Sponge, Grow Scary, Talkin' Boobies.
It's about time they finally started giving people what they want, yeah.
And I'm excited to see what happens with Sherman versus Tingle.
Yeah.
I feel like that's been a long time coming. If you listen to the morning radio, you know that this is,
yeah.
It's a surprise that it hasn't become adversarial yet.
My money's on Tingle.
The baseball season has started up again here in the Windy City, and Major League Baseball Association has announced that select stadiums will be unveiling a fifth base in their pursuit to make the game more appealing to younger audiences.
Exactly. Younger audiences, they want more. They keep asking for more, more, more. We repeatedly hear comments that baseball is boring or slow or the uniforms look weird. And so they've added this fifth base, and Chicago celebrates the fact that Wrigley Field, out of all the stadiums, has been chosen as one of the three stadiums across the country to test this out later this season.
Well, I mean, speaking personally as a baseball fan and a young person skeptic, wonder if this is really what's going to do the trick, adding another base. And not everyone's exactly happy with
the choices,
with Wrigley
certainly.
Field. I know, yes. I'm certainly not, and many members of my family are not.
Yes, the fans of the Chicago White Sox, as you might expect, have vocalized their outrage about what they see as continued unfair treatment in the MLB, repeatedly choosing the Cubs for new things over the Chicago White Sox. I was lucky enough to talk to a local resident and Sox fan who wanted to go by Randy H., who had this to say. Expletive the Chicago Cubs. They're a bunch of expletiving expletives. And in the middle of my interview is prompted another passerby to interrupt with the following. What the expletive did you say? And then Randy, of course, retorted with, "You expletivingly heard me, you expletive." So a rousing conversation in the city of Chicago on sports.
A classic conversation about Chicago sports, if there ever has been one.
Yes.
That gets played out again and again and again. Not just a
louder and
season.
Louder every time.
An unlicensed dentist working in the city of Chicago has recently been discovered and arrested after several reported cases of using untested and in some cases improvised medical procedures on unwitting patients.
Yes, the dentist who went by Dr. Mitchell's Ghost Tooth Mitchell's was reported to have used, among many, many others, some, as was mentioned, untested procedures, which include, but aren't limited to, fusing two teeth together to make a super tooth, using piano keys to reconstruct a mouth, replacing all teeth with wisdom teeth, sort of the smart tooth procedure, filing down teeth into little sculptures, and then, of course, something that can only be described or was only described to us or in police reports as wacky sauce animal style.
Well, I know a lot of people aren't very are apprehensive about going to the dentist. I can't imagine this will allay their fears at all. When they, you know, you might wake up and find yourself wacky sauced.
Yeah, my friend was recently wacky sauced. I'm livid about it.
In a chilling report, the Chicago Police Department has released updates on an underground event known as the Senior Assassins Game, which has teens targeting the elderly in a sick, most dangerous game.
So, high school seniors is what the seniors is referring to. It's like a school pride thing. They're squirting each other. High school seniors are squirting each other with
napalm,
squirt guns,
acid,
water,
guns.
It's like a joke. It's like a TikTok.
Okay,
thing.
No, because I'm reading this right now. I'm okay.
Yes, and reading what I wrote? Because
I don't read what you wrote. I read what was put in front of me.
Why do I even write it, Cam?
I'm writing what was put in front of me.
You're writing what's put
I'm sorry,
in front
I'm
of
reading me. What's right.
Water guns, Cam. Water guns. They're right. Squirting each other with water guns. That's it.
Not filled with acid?
No, they're filled with water.
Well, then how are they killing the old people?
They're not. They're high school seniors squirting other high school seniors with water from water guns. It's just a TikTok thing.
All right, moving to our final headline tonight.
We're going to talk about the Julasco-Marianos merger. It's looking to be a pretty big...
Oh, yeah. I thought Tommy here could do it.
I don't want.
What? I'm sorry?
My stepson, Tommy.
Yes, I know your step. Yes, your
stepson. I had custody today. I thought it would be.
Why are we
Tommy
talking about
this? Story.
You want Tommy to do the story? What does that mean?
You would do the story. Pass the notes over.
No, what?
Pass over the notes.
I wouldn't have to. Oh,
it's a
God.
Merger. Who cares? Tommy, come on, Tommy. Tommy's going to be a natural at this, just like his stepdad.
You should have talked about this beforehand.
I always wanted to play on your laptop.
Well, you can play
no,
on.
Don't touch that, please. Tommy, come on.
You've been playing on the laptop.
Why is Tommy
why
in here?
Why do I do this? Oh, this is scary.
No, there's nothing to be scared
fine,
about.
Whatever. Okay.
No, it's okay. It's fun. You just read the words,
fine.
And it goes out on the radio, ugh. And people listen to you. You're like you're a star, just like your old man.
We're
your stepman.
Oh my God, you're so okay. Hi, I'm Tommy. I'm like 13 years old, and I'm
13 years young.
Okay, so Aldi is like.
Just read the notes.
It is a grocery store, and it's becoming a bigger grocery store.
No,
my
that's
mom
for the...
goes to Kroger, and she is always talking about you and saying that you don't grocery shop enough.
Well, I mean, you know, that's...
She says you're too cheap, and that's why you go to Aldi.
Well, no, that's not.
I mean, I could pick. I could see that.
But is that what
no,
you're
Tommy,
talking
just read
about?
The notes.
Are you guys getting back together? Is that what you're saying?
No, Tommy, just read the notes. Just read the
are
notes.
You
it's
saying
fun.
You and Mom are getting back together?
No, it's fine. Just read the notes, Tommy. It's okay.
Aldi and Kroger are becoming one.
It's sort of like thing. The opposite of what Cam and your mom
yeah,
are doing.
Yeah, instead of my stupid dad. Can
what's,
I curse on this?
What's
instead of my stupid flipping dad who thinks he can just be divorced from my mom. Like, mm-hmm. Do you know she has a boyfriend? His name's Alan. He's cool.
Wow, did you know about that, Cam?
No.
He's cool. He has a Corvette. He let me, like, pull his body.
No, Tommy, just read the story. Just read the story, Tommy.
He has a YouTube channel. He has a YouTube channel. He let me go on the YouTube channel.
And now you get to be on the radio. Isn't the radio cooler than a YouTube channel?
Aldi and Kroger won. That's whatever.
This was a mistake.
Shout out to my best friend, Zach.
I'm Cam Smedley.
And this is Our Sponsors.
And today we are joined by the Honorable Rain Lopez, running for circuit judge in Cook County.
Thanks for having me.
That's great. Thank you so much for being on the show. We're in the politics season. How do you feel? How do you feel about your chances?
I feel good. I feel pretty good about them.
Right. You're running on a very very interesting platform.
Sure.
You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, it's very relaxed. I'm just kind of coming into it. It's I don't really have much of a background for it, but I don't know, I really got too much else going on. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I think I could be fair and just, and I just keep. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, there is certainly a lot of buzz around you being on the bill, something that doesn't often happen for these sort of judge elections, in the sense that you are a true outsider. You do not have a law degree. You obviously have not passed the bar, and have, in fact, no.
Never have, never will.
And people are excited about that. Do you? Why do you think that's the case?
I think people are excited about that because they're sick of seeing all these people coming in here with their big powdered white wigs still controlling all the laws and stuff, and I kind of come in, I don't have a wig, and it's I think people like that. I think people like seeing someone who looks like they would rather be at home drinking right now to kind of be in charge of
right
what's going to happen to them.
Looking, I mean, you have the best. You don't need a wig. You have the best hair on the ballot.
Yeah,
many of these people are bald or balding.
Mm-hmm.
Or have, as I might describe it, very conservative haircuts, but
yeah.
Certainly one of the best haircuts on the ballot right now.
I think people see me on the ballot, they don't really feel threatened. They think, oh, I got it more together than her. And it's like, yeah, you know what? Cool. That's fine. And let me be your judge.
But you do absolutely have some buzz in the media because of your background with puzzles and riddles.
That is true.
So many of the people that are running for judge and judge positions in Cook County and around the world, realistically, they have a background in law, but they don't have a background in judging really interesting things such as puzzles.
Yeah,
puzzles and
those
riddles.
Are interesting.
Figuring those things out.
Yeah, no, thank you. Those are interesting things, which is why I lied about that being my major.
Yeah,
I told them I was thinking, I was like, oh, what would trip them up? Puzzles and riddles. I got an associate's degree at Moraine Valley Community College,
mm-hmm.
and then I got a bachelor's in cinema and television arts at Columbia College, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So really completely abstracted from anything law related. But I was like, you know what is, I mean, it's all a puzzle, you know,
right.
All the law. What even is the law?
Exactly.
So forgive me for a moment, but I come into this with a great degree of skepticism, would be the polite way to put this about this. So just to pose a hypothetical to you, you have a real dirtbag comes into your court. They're convicted of just imagine the worst crime imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
I have some theories on what that would be. I'm not going to offer them. But this is a truly unrepentant cockroach of an individual.
Mm-hmm.
What are you handing down as the sentence?
If I hate him enough, I'll have him killed. If I don't, I'm just going to honestly just push it off until I'm out of office. I'm just going to just let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. I don't want to
convince. You're going to take a deep breath is what you're saying.
What?
You're going to take a deep breath and...
Take a deep breath, sit back, and not come into the office for a few days. I don't want to convict anybody of anything unless I really don't like them.
Rain, I have another question. Do you hate anybody? Are the people that you hate? And you would right now, you'd know if they came before you in the court of law, you'd have them killed?
No.
No?
Honestly, I wouldn't have anybody killed. I couldn't do it.
You couldn't
I wouldn't do anything. I would get presented so much stuff that it would feel like a riddle, and then people would be like, "You're the riddle master," and I'd be like, "I didn't really do that," but I wouldn't tell them I didn't. I would just be like, "Yeah, you're right. I'm at home trying to solve this riddle. Give me 3 weeks because nobody else has that degree. Nobody knows what nobody knows what I do. So I'm just gonna just give me another week. Just give me another week. Just give me another week. But this is how I got through all of my education in the first place." Mm-hmm. Keep pushing it off. Don't do the work, but be nice and sweet enough. Have a good enough vibe that people will be like, "All right, she's a good kid. Just let her get through. Let her get through it. Let her get through it until I'm out of office, and then I'm gone. Then you can do whatever you want."
Is that?
I just want to be judged for a little bit.
Is that too much to ask?
Well, I think we have to be your judge.
I think we have to ask the citizens of Chicago, of Cook County, whether that's too much to ask in this next election.
I would counter with, is that really what you would ask voters to vote for?
All of what I just said?
Yes.
No, I probably would not.
Hello, everybody. I'm Cam Smedley. Tonight, I am joined by resident cybersecurity expert and tech guru Kai Hubris. Welcome.
I'm happy to be here, Cam.
Well, what we wanted to bring you on to talk about is something that came out in the news last month, and that is the hacking of Lurie Children's Hospital here in Chicago.
Oh, boy, that's a big one.
It happened at the end of January, lasted for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
A known criminal threat was their direct words of what happened there.
Absolutely.
Obviously caused a great deal of disruption to the...
And usually I'm really into that, yeah.
But in a children's hospital, that's not a place where you really want to see that, I don't think.
No, you typically... I mean, it's a real controlled environment. You don't want to be going in there shaking things around too hard because then, you know, bad things are going to happen.
Right, you know, especially the very young people, you can't shake them quite as much as
older
children.
You can shake them
a
little bit. They seem to like that.
Right, but we're not here to talk about... we wanted to get your expert opinion on what happened here, why it happened, and what can be done. So let's start with the first one of those.
Yes.
What happened here?
All right. So what happened was yet another year. Now, this is not a new thing. This has been happening every single year around this time of the year for several years. You see, this is one of the famous incel yearly challenges that the incel sects of the hacking community engage in. A really despicable group. You have the wholesome virgins, and then you have the
like your Rivers Cuomo style
individuals. Like your Rivers Cuomo. Yes, people that have used their pain for the betterment of humankind, and then you have the incels who are using it for horrible things.
And you are saying that it was this particular more extreme, more cynical aspect of
the hacking community.
The hacking
yes.
community who went into this.
Absolutely. And it's these are challenges that they have every single year. I see them. I see them posted. I see the bounties. I see the message groups are all the – it's like a hackathon. They're competing against each other, but instead of making a cool world-changing creation, what they're doing is they're doing bad stuff with children's data.
Well, I mean, and that's the next question that I wanted to bring up to you is – They have broken into the hospital, obviously. This has already happened. This is data, as you put it, has been exposed. And while it was a challenge, it was for the sport of it, as sick as that may be.
Right.
What are they planning on doing with this data now? What's the ultimate goal there?
So they get the data. You see, when I personally, I love data. data is a double-edged sword because it provides us a lot of fun and power and cool stuff. But because of that, it also if the bad people get it, you know what I always say is the only thing that could beat a bad guy with data is a good guy with data.
Right.
And what they're going to do with this data is they're going to do all sorts of sick and twisted. That's just the start of it. You see, that's just the start of their fun and games. You see, a database, a base of data.
Yes.
That's kind of like a playground for a hacker, you know. And you don't want these kind of hackers at your playground. Spells bad news, and the thing is, we can't kick them out. We can't kick their little behinds to the next neighborhood this time.
They've taken over the sandbox. Taken over the playground.
So
they're hogging the monkey bars.
What they're doing is
with your child's data.
Exactly, they're kicking sand in people's faces. They're hanging on things. They're using the slide as it is not intended to be used. Absolutely not. They're climbing up the slide. Can you believe that?
Unfortunately, I can.
And they're not letting the kids slide down because of that.
About 2 weeks, these children couldn't slide down.
They couldn't slide down for 2 weeks. And what they're doing is they got data stacking. You got data juggling. They're sorting. They're unsorting. And this is some serious data we're talking about. We're talking about data like blood type, skin type, bone type, spine type, spirit type, and acumen.
Acumen.
Yes, all the stuff that we do not want to get – the information that we do not want to get out about our vulnerable children.
Well, or even, you know, I can't imagine myself as an adult, as a man.
Yeah.
I would not want someone with my acumen, you know, my various body fluid information, mm-hmm. juggling, dancing.
Stacking.
Sorting and unsorting.
Yeah.
It shudders me. I'm shuddering. Absolutely and utterly despicable.
And here's the thing. That's not even the worst part. What I have reason to believe. Now, I'm not that involved in these communities, obviously. I get the...
You're one of the good ones.
I'm one of the good ones, exactly. I
appreciate that. I appreciate someone who uses sort of their dark edge.
Yeah.
To better the world. Well, because we all have a dark edge, and it's how you choose to use that dark edge. It's how you choose to use the bad parts of you,
yeah.
and the things that, you know, maybe make you, in some people's eyes,
yeah.
threatening,
I do, yes,
confusing.
I do think of myself as the Batman, and I am fighting the Joker. So the thing is, the worst thing that I think that they're doing, again, I have not seen this, I have not confirmed this, but I've heard through the grapevine that this is happening. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get the scans of these kids' skeletons.
Right.
All these kids, they got their skeleton scans all
up. Well, you're in the hospital. That's one of the first things they do to you.
They scan your skeleton.
They hit you with the little hammer on the knee.
Yeah.
They depress your tongue.
Yeah.
And then they put you in the bone scanning machine.
Right. So this data's there.
So that's you know, that could be thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of children's skeletons.
Yeah.
At the hands, in the hands,
yeah.
the greasy grasp. Of these hackers.
And they're holding the skulls and they're like, you know, like Hamlet, you know? And what they're doing is, their goal is they have these skeletons. They're trying to make them, they're trying to make them dance.
No, I'm sorry. I don't think I heard you right.
Yeah. I think you
they
did.
They're taking these children's bones.
Yeah, the skeletons.
Skeletons, scans of the skeletons.
Yeah.
Making them dance.
They're making them do a jig. Yeah. Dance to all sorts of things.
Is this like a Fortnite thing? I know I have a stepson
yeah.
who's rather into that, and they do these dances.
They do. It's not, let me just say this, Cam, it's not that.
That's unbelievable.
But it's certainly horrible.
It's unbelievable.
It's probably the worst thing
I've ever heard. It's the parents' worst nightmare.
Exactly.
They take their child in because they have a fever.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have an ingrown toenail, whatever.
Uh-huh.
They get treated. And then they find out later that all of that information is in the hands of someone who just wants to make their skeleton dance.
Yeah, it's not in the hands of Ally McBeal this time. It's in the hands of horrible creeps on the internet.
So what's to be done? How do we prevent something like this from happening ever again? Now, while I do not have children,
mm-hmm.
and my stepchildren do not speak to me very often,
yeah.
I do have
lots
in the hospital? Of friends. On and off.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not this hospital, hopefully. I need to talk with my but what, so what's there to be done?
Okay.
What can the industry possibly do to prevent further issues like this from happening?
Right. So the thing is, I'm the perfect person to ask about this because, you know, the hospital people that are doing this hospital stuff, they're in the hospital industry, right? They're putting Band-Aids on scraped knees. They're giving kids lollipops. They're doing their important work that they need to do.
And they might have an incentive to allow these sorts of things to happen.
Yeah.
Because, oh, I'm sorry, you did an MRI. We had these hackers. We lost the MRI.
Yeah.
Now you have to go do another one.
Yeah, and they
so
don't.
So, you know, I think the incentives here is such that, as you put it,
yeah,
the hospitals have no interest in preventing this sort of thing from happening.
Exactly. They need people like me who are really in the industry of innovation and disruption. And I look at the facts and I see what do these hospitals have that other places don't have. And it's obvious to me exactly what these hospitals have in droves, what these the assets of these hospitals really are.
And what's that?
They got a bunch of sick kids.
Right.
They have a workforce of young minds that cannot engage in the world maybe in a classical sense. They can't go out and play. They need to be in these small rooms with, you know, curtains.
Perhaps some sort of bubble.
Maybe they need to be in a bubble. So they don't get out much. But
right.
What they can do is they can use a computer.
Hmm.
They can code. They can engage with the world through the metaverse and through cyberspace. So the thing is, these hospitals need to be encouraging these kids to start, just, you know, start getting in on the action. These kids, it's time to start teaching these cats how to fight their own battles. Get in there, learn how to code, first off. Learn how to get on there into the spaces, into the metaverse, in the hacking community, into the matrix. And it's time to fight these people. You know, we said before, there's nobody that can kick the tush of a one of these creeps that are in their, you know, database playgrounds. But if we get in there, into the matrix, and these kids start working out in the matrix. You know, you've seen a good guy
with a data is, yeah, the only thing that can defeat a bad guy with data.
Exactly.
Or in this case, sick children with data.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Which is the goodest guy that I could think of, really.
Yeah. This is really quite a fascinating idea because, as you said, they're not doing anything anyway.
Right.
You know, they're resting, but how much effort can possibly go into coding? It's not a strenuous activity by any stretch of the imagination.
Exactly, and it's, you know, it's a measure of inspiration. It's a way to inspire these kids, right? You know, right now these kids are just fighting, you know, fighting
cancer.
Their battles. Yes, they're fighting to survive.
Tuberculosis.
Let's give them somewhere they could thrive.
Dengue.
Yes. Bad knees.
Mm.
Let's give them somewhere they could thrive, and that is in the matrix. So I will say this one thing, Cam, is that the hardest part about this is going to be taking the first steps and actually teaching these kids how to code. A lot of them don't have a background in this field. They didn't have the luxury of you know, being out there and getting their first Arduino and really messing around with it and then joining the hacker communities and taking down banks and stuff. They didn't have, you know, that the childhood that I had. So the hardest part is going to be getting these kids, you know, into the industry. It's taking those first steps. Luckily, I actually have a solution for that.
You don't say, because please continue.
So, Cam, and this is – I'm speaking to you, Cam. I'm speaking to the audience, and I'm speaking directly to the Lurie Children's Hospital, the folks over there.
I thought it was Hugh Laurie's Children's Hospital at first.
Thank God that one's safe. So doctors over there and administrative professionals, medical administrators, I have this foundation. You see, I'm starting this foundation. It's called the Megascript Foundation,
mm.
And it's where we can teach. I'm teaching kids how to make scripts. I'm teaching kids that are specifically. This is a design specifically for kids in hospitals, in a hospital setting, for them to make scripts, enter the metaverse, and live their lives to the fullest.
Right. Well, so I mean that's beautiful because you have a child in a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they get to roll around in the yard every once in a while.
Yeah.
But they're not out there. They're not at the corner store.
No.
You know, getting a soda pop.
But they can be in the metaverse.
In the metaverse. And on top of that, they're learning a valuable skill, hireable skill.
Exactly. And so we go out there. The kids, you know, they're really going to love. We haven't actually tried this yet, but it's obvious that the kids are going to love it. The only issue that we have is that, you know, it's hard to say it. I need no donations. This stuff isn't free, okay? So we're going to need some money. Okay, we're gonna need money to build out these training grounds, put up the you know the bars that they can use to do pull-ups on, and the katanas that they can use to fight with, and the bulletproof vests that we need to put on all of them. It's really expensive to buy all this stuff, especially in the metaverse. So we do need donations.
Well,
of those things that I said, they need to be NFTs.
Well, if people are interested in helping to fight back against these sickos attempting to access your children's skeletal data, please reach out at awcyfm@gmail.com.
Yes.
And we can send you the instructions on how to provide a donation. Kai Hubris, thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure's mine.
I just don't appreciate it at all is the thing. I don't appreciate it when you do that.
You don't appreciate a lot of things, Cam.
Well, yeah, I especially don't appreciate this.
This took me a long time.
I don't care. It's distracting. Could you take it off?
I don't.
Could you take it off?
What are we going to fill it with? We need to fill this time.
I don't know.
I've already timed it out. I've cut it. I've sliced it perfectly.
Well, you're the reporter. You're not the editor. We should have a separate editor.
We don't.
Where's the editor?
Cam, it falls on me. You know that, right?
Well, I guess now I do.
We're not taking it
out. Okay, so you're the editor?
We're not taking it. Yes.
Okay, as the presenter.
Yes.
As the anchor.
Right.
I say take it out.
Listen, Cam, do this for me. You need to read it.
No, I'm not reading it.
You're going to read it.
No, I'm not reading it. I'm not reading this.
Just okay.
You are not the boss of me, all right? You are the investigative journalist.
Just okay. What problem do you have with it? What possible problem could you
have? It's not something I would say. When people listen
it's the news when though. People, you're the presenter.
When people listen
yes.
to Cam Smedley,
yes.
they expect a certain tone. They yeah. expect a certain aspect to him
great.
That this does not fulfill.
Add those. You add the tone.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it.
It's one sentence.
I'm not saying it.
It's 10 words.
I'm not. No, it's not. It's not happening.
Words.
It's less than 10 words, but that's besides the point.
Okay, which words? Which words do you have a problem with?
All of them. Get them out of here.
What if I mix them around?
Get them out of here.
What if I put
the idea
beginning?
Is rotten. It's rotten to the core. It's rotten fruit from a rotten tree.
Cam, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you here.
I'm not saying it. It's not happening.
Fine, I'll say it.
You'll say it?
I'll say it.
Fine, say it.
And it's going in the show.
No, I'll say it then. No. If you want it said, it, I'll say it then.
You'll say it.
I'll say it. Fine, I'll say it.
Go for
it. You know what? So if it has to be said,
yeah.
If it has to be said,
yes.
I would rather say it than have you say it because you're just going to mess it up. You're just going to mess it up because you're an editor. You're a journalist. You're not a presenter.
Okay, Cam, you know, you got me there. I think.
Come on, you want me to say it?
I think the only thing
you want me to say it. Oh, big editor man.
Yeah.
Big journalist. Yeah. You want me to say it?
Uh huh. I think let's. You know what, Cam? Let's make. I have a solution. Let's say it together.
Okay.
One.
No. It's a terrible
two.
Idea. No. I'll say it. Fine.
Okay.
I'll say it. All right. Fine. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back on the show. There. Are you happy? You happy now?
I think I want to change it.
Sounded terrible!
My fellow Chicagoans, I only have 1 minute in this PSA space to tell you what you need to hear, so please listen closely. Our institutions, academic, political, and civil, have been infiltrated by individuals who are working at the behest of those things that exist outside of the reality that we know. Our reality is in fact toxic to these individuals, and through their means, they are attempting to reshape our society into one in which they can better exist and procreate. These entities are not evil in the traditional sense, nor are they comprehensible by any but the most alien minds. Their minions are now, as we speak, attempting to bring about a great convergence whereupon they will take over all of us and move forward in their sinister agenda. These doppelgangers know no loyalty except for those unknown masters that work in the spaces between time and matter and mind. Chicagoans, be vigilant for doppelgangers. They are everywhere and they cannot—
What are you doing here?
You know, people ask us as musicians, you know, how is that? You know, how you come on stage and you do a song,
yeah.
You do a whole performance, and you get back down, and you know, people are asking what happened up there. How do you do it? What do you think? What do you think? I mean, I got my own answers, but
I think you know, it's like you don't ask. You don't ask like a preacher man who gets off the stage when he's doing a prayer. He's doing his sermon. You don't ask him, like, you know, what happened to you? Why'd you do that? That's what I'm always hearing. Why did that happen? Why did you think it was okay to do that?
No, that you wouldn't do that.
I was communing with something.
Yeah.
Something supernatural, something higher than me.
Yeah. No, that's it. You know, I mean, it's life, you know. It's everything. There's no difference when you're on the stage versus when you're off the stage, you know. There's a song in my ear, you know. I'm thinking I'm putting together the notes every day. You know, you might be at the bus stop, right? I mean, I take the bus, you take the bus, you know, we take the
I've
bus
taken
together
the, yeah,
sometimes.
Of course.
You take the bus and
you just can't, and sometimes I just let it drive.
Yeah.
I find that all my inspiration comes from the bus. The bus is sort of like a metaphor for inspiration,
right? I mean, there's a reason, you know, when you're a professional,
yeah.
It's called the tour bus, and I think a lot of the reason that it's a bus and not, you know, maybe a plane or a sedan or whatever, you know, I mean, we have the bus, we in the band, we have the bus,
right?
And it's great, you know. I mean, they have a whole song about it, about the wheels,
yeah.
The wipers. You know, it's a cliche, but it's true. They do make those noises, and it is kind of like a song.
It's like, you know, when we're on the bus, we take it all the way. You know, that's the thing. Most people.
Right.
Most
here people, to Skokie, Skokie to Lamont, Lamont back to Chicago. I mean, you know, that's a tour. And the entire time we're listening, we're in that bus. We're chatting, we're talking, but we're listening, which is most important.
Yeah. And other people, they leave the bus. You know, they get off the bus. They got jobs.
Yeah.
They decided at some point. I need to get off this bus. I need to do what everybody else is doing. I got to get to my job. We just let it ride. We just let it go.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful metaphor for what it's like to be a musician in general.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people, you know, they want to get on this track. They took piano lessons, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they and a couple of buddies when they were in their 20s had like
a
punk rock band.
I don't know a guy.
But they get off the bus. You got to keep riding it, you know. I mean, we're you know, I'm coming up on 40. I don't want to say how old you are, but we kind of grew up. We went to the same high school together. You
yeah,
know, that's where we started this band. And how many people have come
Thank
through?
You for that.
How many people have come through the band and they left? They got off early because they didn't have it in them. They didn't
how
have the
many?
Drive. How many people have we gone through in our band? You know, together.
12.
I mean, you got
20.
The point being, you know,
yeah.
We're all riding this bus that we call music, that we call, you know, rock and roll.
Yeah, the Silver Surfer. Yeah,
yeah, and people keep getting off the bus, and you know, sometimes I think we're the only ones that are you know that listen to the wheels going round and the wiper blades going whoosh whoosh. You
and
know?
Man, there's not even really a destination to this bus either.
No,
we're just kind of let it ride.
Right.
Now, if it eventually takes us to somewhere really cool, if it eventually takes us to, you know, the metaphorical Dells.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's all. It's not
yeah, but we're
for.
Not getting off.
We're not getting
we're
off.
No, we're not getting
we'll
off.
We'll spend we'll enjoy the sights.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Close our eyes?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Close the window?
No.
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 It's too foggy in there. We got to open the window. So I
right.
can't see anything.
Right.
The bus driver gets mad. because of how foggy it gets.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and that's music, and that's playing in a band,
and that's the band.
And for a special feature this evening, I see that we are going to be talking about the 2024 Chicago Public School Middle School Science Fair finalists.
Precisely. So just a few weeks ago, held at the, as you can see here, held at the prestigious Erlacher Park Magnet School, some of the best and brightest middle schoolers from around the city of Chicago congregated. These are some of the finalists after their regional science fair performances. They congregated at the Erlacher Park Magnet School to present their science fair projects. And we are going to be presenting some of the coolest ones, some of the winners, some of the finalists from this event here on this show, just to celebrate young scientific mindsets and show what the kids are really doing and thinking about these days.
Will we be talking about the winners?
Well, you know, all these kids have won in our hearts.
Oh,
I would say.
Oh, I see. It's one.
You can't really win in science, can you, Cam?
I suppose not. Probably one of the reasons it never really appealed to me. Well, let's just get into this. Who's our first finalist?
So our first finalist was a quite interesting one. So the first one was Jenny Tambor, who presented their project, Effects of Benzene on My Dad. So what Jenny realized is, and this is not the case for all children, you know, everywhere, but they realized they had access to two things, their dad, and then, of course, industrial-grade benzene. And so they thought of putting two and two together, and they determined what the effects were of adding benzene to their dad.
And benzene, I'm no pencil neck. I'm some sort of science man. But benzene is a chemical. It's a solvent. What is benzene?
It's a chemical. It's shaped kind of like a pentagram, pentagon.
Right.
It's got some bonds in there, but really, that none of that matters. What really matters is the scientific process that Jenny did, which was test out with the effects before and after benzene of their dad, and they noticed some pretty interesting things,
such as,
you know, size changes, color changes, changes in behavior.
All right.
More a desire for toast.
Hmm.
And just generally a stick-to-itive attitude that wasn't present prior to the addition of benzene. Should be noted that Jenny is from the Gramble Ramble Rodeo School in the Kuiper Belt neighborhood of Chicago. So not a lot of kids. You wouldn't think that a kid coming from that sort of neighborhood would be that interested in science, but,
or from a rodeo school for that matter.
Yeah, but you know, Jenny has a bright future ahead of her.
All right.
Next up on this next slide, we see that the next one is maybe one that people were more so expecting, the kind of scientific investigation that more people would be expecting from
a middle schooler.
From a middle schooler. This one's Analyzing the Role of Video Games on My Grades by Colby Goat, who is a sixth grader from Weller's Middle School in the Rascal Flats neighborhood.
Once again, I have to ask, because these slides don't actually provide a ton of context on mm-hmm. what the findings were. I'm going to hazard a guess here. The roles of video games on Colby's grades were a negative one.
You'd think that, but actually—
I do think that, yes.
But actually, they were found, according to Colby's graphs and pie charts and tables, it actually increased tenfold.
Really?
Yeah, they went from low C's to high A's just by the introduction of Fortnite.
I would love to have access to the raw data on that one.
Right,
but,
and of course, Colby noted that this does not even include what he considered to be quote-unquote M games that his parents don't let him play, but he expects that games that are rated M or even unrated games— based on his data, his hypothesis is that M games would raise them even higher than that.
Well,
perhaps the Godfather game or any number of M games, you know.
Right.
What are some other M games, Cam?
I couldn't tell you. I don't. The last video game that I played was
Grand Theft Auto. Imagine the effects of Grand Theft Auto.
That's not a game. That's a very serious issue facing our young people.
That is true, but it's also a game. Let's move on to the next one. We got a lot of these to go through. This one is by Telly Jacobs. And this one, I would say, more so is has questions ethically. I know for the judges, definitely who were evaluating these reports, there were questions in ethics. But this one is optimizing stealing from the gas station by Kelly Jacobs from the Soft Boys Middle School in the Deer Choke neighborhood of Chicago. So this was quite an interesting one. Applying the scientific method to something that classically maybe, you know, is a field that people don't typically think of as being very scientifically rigorous, but Telly shows that it can be.
So what stealing things and seeing how.
Well, stealing things
steal better?
Different ways, yes.
Right.
So you got the classic, you know, pocket method. Maybe you got somebody that sets up a diversion.
Right.
You gotta, of course, you try, you know, with and without a lookout, of course, is a variable that you're testing.
Perhaps you put a snack cake in a slushy cup.
Oh, yeah.
Fill it up with slushy.
That's a great one. Optimizing which hoodie is best to put a bunch of snacks in, absolutely.
Right.
And that's, and they, you know. They went the extra yard. They were also stealing some of the, you know, the high item stuff. They were stealing some, figuring out the best way to steal some of the cigarettes from behind the counter, you know, which is something that I think a lot of scientific, you know, research, very few research papers, I think, touched on at the time. But Telly is making waves in the scientific communities with this one.
I'm sure he's very popular at his middle school.
Probably. All right, let's go on to the next slide.
Now, this is just titled Death Ray. Was this the actual title of the project, or was this a shorthand that you did in preparation for this program?
No, and big. This was actually the biggest one. You know, most of the kids had their standard trifold. This one was a full-on wall mural, effectively, that just the title Death Ray
right.
with a lightning bolt font. This was by Churchington Hank. From the St. Mother's Milky's Catholic School in the Vatican Yards neighborhood. And this one was just figuring out the death ray. So not necessarily a hypothesis per se, except is it – I mean, I guess if you had to have one, it would be like, is this a death ray? And, well – The results speak for themselves.
Now, was the death ray that this middle schooler built there? Did he bring it in?
No. But I am led to believe that it does exist. It's just, I guess the Erlacher, you know, magnet school had certain rules against bringing in objects like that into the school, on top of the fact that also Churchington told me that it probably would not have fit in the room that we were holding this event in the first place. But it does exist, and Churchington does believe, in fact, that it is a death ray, and when he's able to test it out on a large scale, the results will speak for themselves.
Well, so far, this is certainly the most interesting one that I've heard so far. They know how to teach science at St. Mother of Milky's Catholic School, it sounds like.
Yeah, really put the fear of death into kids. The next one is also a very interesting one. I think equally as interesting, Things I Put in My Neighbor's Koi Pond. By Withrop Pulaski,
and just for the sake of the listener, a koi pond is
a pond with koi fish in it. It's not that
sort of a big goldfish.
Oh yeah, a real chunker. Mm. This one was in the Princeton Puddles Charters the Princeton Puddles Charter School in the Mountain Husk neighborhood, a neighborhood known for their elaborate and quite relaxing koi ponds over there.
So what was Winthrop putting in the koi pond?
Oh,
or
I mean,
their neighbor's koi pond.
Oh boy. I mean, you start off small, maybe a tic tac, maybe a little balled up, you know, a spitball or something.
Maybe a penny.
You drop it from a really tall height, but then you know you go up. You do a quarter. You do a baseball, and sooner or later you're putting in, you know, cars and. Giant pieces of house,
right.
Furniture,
right?
And as soon as we got to the, you know, a full on refrigerator, we're really talking, we're really rolling there,
right? And what was the was there any report on the effects on the koi of these or the neighbor for that matter?
No, that was information that was left out of the report. Really, the focus was on what could be put in the koi pond. That was in science we like to focus on one variable at a time.
Right.
As you know, Cam.
Right. Yeah. Because scientists are cowards.
Sure. Let's say that. Let's move on to the next one, Cam. The next one, see, you know, sometimes you have a bright mind that likes to go back to basics, more of a philosopher than a scientist. But I mean, they're one and the same, two sides of the same bird.
Two sides of the same pencil neck.
Yeah. And this one by Randall Brains, they decided to ask, what is a hypothesis? Randall, who is from the Percy Jackson School of Rock in the Thank You neighborhood of Chicago, they decided to make their entire report on what is a hypothesis. And really their report focused on trying to figure it out, showing their process of trying to learn about what a hypothesis is. You know, you first look in the book, you read it, you say to yourself, I don't really understand this. This doesn't make sense to me. So maybe you Google it. Maybe you go to a library, ask the librarian, you ask various adults, and you know, the various adults will explain it to various levels of accuracy or even enthusiasm. But at the end of the day, Randall still, you know, true to the nature of science, boundless curiosity, a boundless investigative prestige, never really found an answer and is still not confident in what a hypothesis is.
Well, that doesn't sound like that doesn't sound like finalist material to me.
They've transcended finalist, maybe a little bit higher. But let's go on. Maybe this one's going to appeal more to you, Cam.
Okay. All right.
Revolutionizing quantum insulators, Hall's effect tunneling approach, was this one by Timmy Shortstack from the Applebottom School for Boys in the Tuxedo Corridor.
Now, once again, I am not a scientist. I have no pretenses of or frankly desire of being a scientist. What is this?
We all know that. Well, this one is, you see, there's this thing in physics, they're called quantum insulators.
Okay.
They keep, it's an insulator, so the goal is to keep quantum, you know, they would keep particles from getting through them, keep them from moving. So you have these things of potential.
All right, are on board already.
And you have
I'm
the
bored already. Tell me more about Timmy Shortstack here.
Well, Timmy Shortstack, he's a rambunctious youngster. He likes playing baseball. He's got his friends.
I doubt that.
And he also has an interest in quantum field theory and, of course, the Standard Model and learning how the quantum particles, they work together. And so he based an entire report on it.
No, let me make this very clear.
Yeah.
I do not care. I do not care. And I'm gonna hazard a guess that most of the people listening also do not care. But as a presenter, I would be remiss if I did not ask, what is the Hall effect? Quickly.
Okay.
Quickly. What is the Hall effect?
What is the Hall effect?
Yes.
All right. You ever been in a hall, Cam?
Yes.
You ever, like, say hello down a really long hallway and you heard it bounce off the walls?
Yes.
And then somebody comes down the other side of the hallway and they says, what was that?
Yes. Yes.
That's the Hall's effect.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Well, Timmy Shortstack, you have a long career ahead of you of being the wife of the party with
yes.
your quantum insulators. Do we have any more?
We do. We have a couple more. This next one is cookie stacking.
All right.
When's too much?
All right. Now, finally, this is something I can get behind.
This is by Hans Jägermeier from the Pillsbury Heights Middle School in Pillsbury Square. They decided to ask the question on everybody's mind, how many cookies can you stack and when does it get to be too much?
Well, too much, I think, is a kind of a loaded question because, I mean, there is a point at which you can't stack any more cookies on top of each other. They fall over.
Well, that's the question.
But there's never too many cookies.
I think Hans determined that at a point there was.
Well, I mean, you know.
I think it was about 437.
That is a good amount. I mean, that to be fair, that is a good amount of cookies.
I mean, 436, you're golden. But once you add that next cookie on, sort of the straw on the camel's back. But good on you, Hans, asking the real questions. Let's go to the next slide. This one is the final slide. And this one was actually our – I mean, if you had to have a winner, this one was the quote-unquote winner. You know, this one's making it into the big papers.
Right. So the remuneration of judges and its effect on science fair standing. So in plain terms, in layman terms, how much money do you give to a judge and how well does it do you get as a result? Is that am I reading this correctly?
More or less, yes. This is what their report was on. This is a report by Carrie Eldridge from the St. Rogers Tuffy School in the Boards of Canada neighborhood of Chicago. And they decided to ask how much money can you give to judges? Or what is the effect of giving money to judges on getting a good standing at the science fair?
Right. And obviously, as a finalist, it seems to be there seems to be a positive correlation there, right?
You know, I had my issues with this one because, you know, again, you want to control your variables.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know, I don't know how well Carrie did with that, but, you know, I wasn't a judge, you know. I didn't receive any money.
Oh.
I'm not too happy about that myself.
Well, neither would I.
No. But it appears that they certainly did get into the finals with this report. And so, Carrie, excellent job. You have a bright future in the science biz.
Or perhaps politics.
One in the same.
Well, this was a fantastic report, R. Thank you very much. And to all participants in the CPS Middle School Science Fair, finalists or not, you are the future. And I think you could probably be doing better. So, you know, try and make it work.
Yeah,
more.
Maybe when you go to college, find a path that really works for you.
Well, that is our special feature this evening. I think all that's left is to move to our final musical performance. We have in the studio Elvis.
Elvis, Chicago famous performer.
Swooner, crooner,
singing individual. Midnight in Juneer.
Yes. Why don't we throw it over to them? Let's throw it over to them.
Hello.
Hey, mamas. Whoa, this table must be for kids, I'll tell you that much. This is a song I've been real excited to share with you. It's pretty upbeat, so you're gonna wanna grab your girl and dance to this one, all right?
All right. We love you, Elvis.
Just a boy and his dog. We were both full of fun. We grew up together that way. I remember the time at the jumped in and helped pull me up. As the years fast did roll, old Chef, he grew old. His eyes were grass growing dim. And one day, I can do no more for him, Jim.
I can do no more.
With hands that were trembling, I picked up my gun, and I aimed it at Shep's faithful hand. I just couldn't do it. I wanted to run. I wish they would shoot me instead. He came to my side and he looked up at me and he laid his whole head at my knee. I had struck the best friend that man ever had. I cried so I scarcely could see. Old Chevy has gone where the good doggies go. Shep will I roam. But if dogs have a heaven, there's one thing I'll know. Old Shep has a wonderful home.
Hello!
Now.